The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. For the point of truth, I am the only talk show host my son listens to, so we need to set the record straight. And welcome to this program. Those of you listening on AM 1210 in San Diego, K-Praise, thank you. Those of us listening here on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA here in Los Angeles, we are grateful for you and yours, and we jump into our impact segment right now with a guest you all know. We hear his radio ministry, A New Beginning, every afternoon here weekdays. And also, he is the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Harvest Orange County. Among the many things that's going on, we want to bring Pastor Greg Laurie back on the program. Greg, how are you? It's been a while.
Frank, it's been a while, but it's good to talk to you. Good to hear your voice. How you doing?
I'm okay, trying to navigate through these crazy times, and it's good to hear your voice as well, man. I want to talk about the drive-in a little bit. Let's kind of revisit what occurred last Sunday at the Block of Orange.
Yeah, it was really cool, actually, thanks to my friends over there at Salem on KKLA and The Fish. We were able to do a radio transmission of what we were doing. So our first service, we were heard on The Fish. So people pulled into the parking lot at the outlets in Orange, formerly known as The Block. And they listened on The Fish live for 1 hour. And then for our second service at 10, we had it live on KKLA. So that was great to speak to all of our friends and the KKLA audience, but then also to the folks that were in the cars. And it was amazing, Frank. It's like, you know, people, I couldn't hear them. So, you know, I would ask them to honk periodically or put on their emergency lights if any of them prayed and accepted Christ. And in fact, 100 of them did give their life to the Lord. So it was a lot of fun. But this Sunday, we're having our first in-person service at Harvest Riverside in Harvest Orange County.
Well, and I did not know that. We want to talk about that for sure. But one last question about the drive-in. We tracked 1,400 cars. And it's an interesting question from my perspective. What was it like to stand on stage and preach the gospel to automobiles?
Well, the Bible says preach the gospel to every creature, but I don't think they qualify. You know, what I did ahead of time, Frank, is I cruised around in a little golf cart and talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is people roll their windows down, and during the worship, people are holding their hands out of their, you know, cars and worshiping the Lord and so forth. And so it was interesting. You know, it's kind of odd, frankly, but, you know, there's people in those cars and people are responding. And so, but hopefully that aspect of this is something we won't have to do anytime soon. But now that we're going back in person, you know, with the CDC and we're following protocols and we want to do this in a very, very safe way, we're going to start meeting again in person. But, you know, the big amazing thing for us, Frank, has been the incredible response to our exclusively online church service that we call Harvest at Home. The numbers of people who've been tuning into that every Saturday and Sunday are, frankly, staggering.
And can we talk a bit, and again, we'll talk about Pentecost Sunday and what's happening at Harvest OC and Harvest Riverside this Sunday for sure. That's an amazing update and great news. But it's been a number of weeks since I've had you on, and I would just like you to share your thoughts kind of over the last couple of months and navigating through Harvest and, oh my gosh, what is this pandemic and how do we serve our contingent and our congregation and honor the Lord, and anything you want to share about this reality right now. And I know recently you were preaching on end times as well.
Yeah, well, I actually did a little series called Quarantine Life, and it was based on the book of Philippians. And when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, the epistle to the people in Philippi, he was under house arrest. So in effect, Paul was living the quarantine life, if you will. But yet, this is the most joyful, happy epistle that he wrote. In fact, there's more uses of the word joy, happiness, rejoicing than any other letter he wrote. And I find that interesting, considering the difficult circumstances he was under. So, you know, one of the things I've been trying to encourage people to remember is, you know, if God is in control of our lives, and the Lord can cause all things to work together for good to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. And, you know, we've had a lot of things stripped away, including our freedom to go out and do what we want to do. But I think there's been some benefits that have come, such as spending more time with our family. That's a benefit. For some, it may be a little too much time with their family. But, you know, we've gotten back to the family dinner table again and having meals together and getting to know each other again. I mean, we're so busy, and all that busyness will return in short order. So there have been some good takeaway truths, but then there's some problems, of course. Opioid use is up. Yep. Drug sales are up. Alcohol sales are up. Domestic violence is up. Even suicide is up. So people are frustrated. So I think, Frank, this is a real moment for the church to step into the void with a message of hope. And tell people that there's a God who loves them and that he can forgive them of their sins and they can come into a relationship with him. Pivoting back to Harvest at Home, that's what we call our online service. You know, when the governor basically shut the state down, we went online exclusively. And in the last 10, probably 11 weeks now, Frank, we have seen an average of 3,000 people come to the Lord a weekend. So it's like the day of Pentecost. That's how many people came to faith on the day of Pentecost every weekend. So you put the numbers together, they're nothing short of mind-blowing. Since we started going online at Harvest at Home at harvest.org, we've seen 50,000 people make a profession of faith. So, Frank, you've been to a Harvest Crusade.
Oh, yeah.
You know what 50,000 people looks like in a stadium. That's how many people have come to the Lord, a full Angel Stadium. Or to put it another way, it would take us 5 back-to-back SoCal Harvest to see as many people come to Christ as we've seen in the last 11 weeks. So this is one of the good things that has come despite all of the challenges, difficulties, and tragedies of the coronavirus.
Mm. Pastor Greg Laurie is my guest. Can I also ask the question, since you mentioned the coronavirus by name, I've been inundated with emails of people saying, why aren't you talking about end times? This is clearly end times. And I want to be very intentional when I have that conversation. I don't have a master's of divinity. I'm not a pastor necessarily, but I think it's a question, and I know it's a question you talk a great deal about. So for those listeners that are concerned, is this about end times? Is this the beginning? I know you've preached on this recently. What did you share?
Well, basically, I see COVID-19 as a precursor to the end time scenario. You know, the Bible does tell us that in the times preceding the second coming of Christ, there will be plagues, there will be pestilence, there will be earthquakes, there will be wars and rumors of wars and a number of other things the Bible mentions in particular. And in fact, in the last 5 years, we have seen an uptick in what we might call modern-day plagues. We call it a pandemic. Even the president has referred to it as a plague. But at the same time, it's important to understand that these events the Bible speaks of are part of what is called the Great Tribulation period. Mm-hmm. So in my understanding of Bible prophecy, I'm not an expert on Bible prophecy. I am a student of it for 45 years, but my understanding is the next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. That's when true believers are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Following that will be the emergence of Antichrist and then a 7-year tribulation period that ends with the battles of Armageddon, and then the second coming happens. So those events that people often cite, like what Jesus said in Matthew 24, understand that's a description of the tribulation period. So I would call this 4 shocks of an earthquake. Another way I'd put it is, it's like a woman who's going to give birth. Her labor pains get closer and closer together. when she's getting ready to actually have the child. And in the same way, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Mm. So having said that, I think it's futile and pointless to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, because frankly, if you figure out who the Antichrist is, my friend, you have officially missed the rapture. So I wouldn't right. I wouldn't worry myself with that.
Right.
You know, Jesus did not say when you see these things begin to happen, freak out. He said when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near.
And God's word is really clear. No one knows when this will occur. And to even, in your words, and look, Greg, I love you. I love the way you preach, and a lot of ways you preach to people that just have a modicum of understanding of the Bible, be yet it's so deep. We don't have to freak out, your words, my words as well, like somehow, okay, it's here, because we don't know. The Bible says no one knows when that time is.
Well, I mean, when we say it's here, let me address it this way. Are we in the last days? Yes. Are we going to see the second coming of Christ? Look, that happens at the end of the tribulation period. The Bible's very clear. The second coming is at the end of the tribulation. We haven't even had the rapture yet. People confuse these two events. In the rapture, he comes for his church. And the second coming, he returns with his church. In the rapture, he comes like a thief in the night. And the second coming, every eye will see him. In the rapture, God delivers us before the judgment. And at the second coming, Christ returns with judgment. So no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus will come for his church. So we're not in the tribulation period yet. The Antichrist has not been revealed yet. The mark of the beast has not happened yet. And to the point, when a person receives that mark, they will know they're receiving the mark. They will have to pledge their allegiance to Antichrist to receive that mark. So I don't think it's going to come through some vaccine or some other way, and I think people need to just, you know, chill out.
Chill out, exactly. And,
just chill out a little bit, and just, you know, what are we supposed to do as we wait for the Lord's return? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to wake up spiritually and live godly lives. Yep. That's what it tells us.
Amen. Pastor Greg Laurie is my guest. I hadn't intended to ask you this question, but I'm just going to throw it out there because I follow you in social media, and you are very intentional about writing. You write a lot. We see your print responses to situations. The question is, we also know in end times people will fall away from God, not to single-handedly point him out, but obviously John Steingard, the lead singer for Hawk Nelson, now says, I'm not so sure God exists, and there's all of this attention on him. I got an email from a listener who is now saying they don't believe in God, and yet 50,000 people have come to know the Lord in the last 11 weeks through your preachings and how God has used you. So can we spend a moment talking about the importance of getting close and really petitioning God and really maybe asking the hard question, I struggle with my faith, is God really there?
Yeah. Well, look, I think I've met John. I have worked with Hawk Nelson in kind of the distant past. I don't really remember talking with him in particular. He's gone very public with these statements. It's actually made its way into the mainstream press, and it's a very sad situation.
Yep.
You know, here the only way to know if a person is a Christian or not is not because they make a profession of faith, not if they're in a Christian band, not if they're a preacher even. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And all of us have doubts. All of us have times of skepticism. All of us have lapses. All of us stumble and fall. But there's a difference between stumbling and falling, having doubt. Even Billy Graham, I'm writing a book right now about Billy Graham, Frank, and I'm almost done with it. And Billy struggled with doubt as he was starting out as a preacher. And there had to come a moment where he just committed it to the Lord. He laid his Bible out on a tree stump at Forest Home Conference Center and said, Lord, by faith, I believe everything you've written in this book is true. And his doubts went into his rearview mirror. Look, I've been into the darkest valley of despair.
Yes, you have.
When our son was suddenly called home to heaven. And I can guarantee you, Frank, if God was not there for me, I would have given up preaching in a second. But he was there, and he sustained me, and he sustains me, and he's been with me. And so I don't know about this fellow John in the Hawk Nelson Band. I don't know about his faith. I don't know about his depth of commitment. But, you know, it's possible to say you believe and then turn away and then come back again. And if you do that, I would say you're a prodigal. But if you say you believe and you turn away and you never come back again, well, if I understand Scripture properly, in 1 John it says they went out from us and it, you know, and they did not continue with us, and it proved they weren't of us in the beginning. So in other words, it would say maybe a person is not a believer. I'm not going to make that judgment about John because I don't know John, and I have not had any conversations with him. But I'll just say this. A true believer will always make his way back home. And if a person walks away from God and never returns, Scripture would say they were never a believer to begin with. So I'm not in the judging business, but I pray for him, and I pray that he has a meaningful encounter with Christ, and I hope other people will not have their faith stumbled because of that. Don't put your eyes on a man or a woman or a musician or a singer or a talk show host or anybody. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. He will never let you down.
Well said. Thank you for that. Pastor Greg Laurie is my guest. Last question, and then let's talk about Harvest this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. As you shared, these times uncertain, and yet many people that didn't know the Lord, maybe really up until the last 2.5 months, never really thought much about Jesus, and all of a sudden, because everything has kind of stopped and they've confronted maybe some deeper areas that they've not really spent time with, people are recognizing, I got to get right with God. And they're discovering that Jesus is there. So can we share a brief moment about that incredible ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, if we will?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That has happened so many times, and I've heard so many amazing stories. People who are coming to the Lord, I'm talking on my cell phone right now, but I'm going over to my Instagram account because I actually have a post of a really amazing little note that I received from somebody. It's not popping up. But basically the person said, just a footnote, the president tweeted that he was going to be watching our service on Palm Sunday. And so, you know, a lot of people became aware of that and as a result tuned in. And so this particular person, who ended up writing me, they tuned in too, and they ended up accepting the Lord. But what I found amazing about their story was that this person says they were an atheist for 15 years.
Wow.
And they said, well, I heard the president was going to be watching you, so I thought I would watch you as well. I found it just now. Here it is. Thank you, Pastor Greg. I've been an atheist for 15 years, and lately I've been questioning everything. I saw on Facebook that the president said he was tuning into Greg Laurie, so I decided to tune in. And right when Greg said, quote, someone is watching who is scared of death and doesn't know if they're right with God, end quote, I started to cry. I accepted Jesus into my heart. Thank you. So, you know, that's just one of many stories that we received of a person, you know, who was impacted probably because they were scared. Here's another person that wrote me last year. Ended in darkness and gloom. My husband and I went far away from God, but this pandemic pulled me closer to him, closer to him than I could ever imagine. Mm. We rededicated our lives back to God through Harvest at Home. We returned prodigals, and I thank God for your ministry. So, you know, letters like these, Frank, this is like fuel in my tank. This is what keeps me going at the ripe old age of 67, you know, because I get very excited when I think of lives like that being impacted by the gospel.
Yeah. Pastor Greg Laurie is senior pastor of Harvest Orange County and Harvest Riverside. This Sunday morning at both campuses, some pretty exciting news. Harvest is reopening. Pastor Greg, share a little bit about that.
Yes, well, we're going to open both campuses, but of course, if you've read the protocols, they're pretty stringent. For instance, you can't have more than 100 people in one space. So we have a sanctuary that seats, you know, 2,000 people. I can have 100 people in it. But fortunately, on both of our campuses, we have a lot of little extra rooms and overflow areas. And so we're going to have a service. Now, it's not going to, we won't be able to accommodate anywhere near what we normally accommodate. Mm-hmm. But hey, it's a beginning. You know, it's a beginning. So, if, and I'm sure it's filling up right now, but if people go to harvest.church, they can reserve a spot. And being one of the venues at our sanctuary, we're having an 8 o'clock service in the morning at Harvest Riverside and a 10 o'clock service, 10 o'clock a.m., at Harvest Orange County. You just go to harvest.org. But the thing I want to really encourage people to watch is Harvest at Home, which is also at harvest.org. It starts playing on Saturday, first time, 4 o'clock, then 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, then all day and night on Sunday. And this is a special service that we've put together geared directly toward the viewer. And, man, it's amazing how people are watching literally from all around the world. And so, you know, one of the things that's come out of the coronavirus is we have an extended family of believers now joining us. And it's very exciting to see what God is doing in their lives, as well as our congregations in Orange County, Riverside, and Island of Maui as well.
Yeah. Harvest Kumalani. It's been a while. We're hoping to go back.
Right.
We're hoping to go back end of next month or July. Hopefully the islands will be open. We love going to Harvest Kumalani. It's a wonderful campus.
Just make sure they let that quarantine, or you'll be sitting in your hotel room for 14 days.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We will definitely check for sure.
Yeah.
Last question. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and obviously the overtones of that, as it is written in the Bible, is we can talk for a long time about the symbology of this Sunday, churches beginning to open in our state. Would you talk about Pentecost Sunday? And also, was it a hard decision to open this Sunday? I know a lot has happened over the last 4 or 5 weeks with the governor and the state of California and churches, and there's kind of ongoing litigation right now, et cetera. Was it hard to open? And then if you would talk about Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah, well, it was hard in as far as, you know, it's a logistics issue, like how can we reach more people more effectively? So we debated about doing drive-in versus in-person, and we were originally planning on doing a drive-in service, and we chose instead to start the meeting in person process. But, you know, I would say Pentecost Sundays are important because it's a celebration of the day of Pentecost, and that was the day the church was born. And I think for a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but I'll say for some believers, maybe they've taken church for granted. You know, they go sporadically, if at all. And then one day when church was effectively taken away from them, when they could not go down there, it was very upsetting to them and for some life-altering, because their life is very much a part of the church. And so now as we're beginning to reopen again, I hope that people will be thankful to God for the liberty and freedom we have in this nation to worship God openly and to go back to church again. Don't take church for granted.
Yep.
And I would encourage the folks that are listening, you know, find yourself a church home. Find yourself a pastor. And there's so many reasons for that. But it's just a great thing that we can get back together. But the good news is, Frank, is we don't have to be in a building to be the church. And we don't have to be in a particular space to worship together. Because Jesus did say, when two or more are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. But yet it is also true that something wonderful happens when God's people come together for worship and Bible study, and they receive communion together, and all the other wonderful things that the church does for you, baptizes you, marries you, yes, even buries you. We're there for you from the beginning to the end, and it's our family. It's the family of God, and we all need to be a part of a local family of believers.
Pastor Greg Laurie is senior pastor of Harvest Orange County and Harvest Riverside this Sunday morning. The doors are opening again. You need to go to harvest.church to register, though. Obviously, with the state's restrictions, limited space available. Harvest.church to reserve your spot. Harvest.org is the website. And as Pastor Greg has been saying, Harvest at Home is something that for the last handful of weeks, my goodness, people from all over the world are watching you preach, Greg, and I just pray God's strength to you and God's clarity to you and to continue to be so bold as you have been for years and years and years to evangelize to the lost. And I'm just grateful to call you a brother in Christ and a dear friend. And we are praying for you this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, indeed. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much, Frank. And God bless everybody out there listening. And hopefully you can go to church this Sunday. But if not, join us at Harvest at home at harvest.org. And thanks for all you do, Frank. And I'm thankful for KKLA and being a partner with them in ministry with our radio broadcast and working together this last weekend there for our drive-in service. So God bless you, man, and God bless everybody listening.
Amen. And we look forward to partnering with you more in the coming days and weeks and months, whatever's to come. Looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for sure.
Thanks so much.
All right, brother. God bless you. We will continue with more. Pastor Greg Laurie, Harvest is open again. Obviously limited. Go to harvest.church to register. And we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, and we'll do that next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It's probably no coincidence Wilbur plays a Phil Wickham song. Because Pastor Greg is having, as he often does, Phil will do worship this weekend at Harvest. And I have a very quick Phil Wickham story. So I know Phil, not well, admire him, respect him. And recently I had a listener who had just found the program and not a believer and kind of asking me, you know, just general questions. So how long have you been a Christian and how long have you had the radio program? And I pray a lot when I have someone come to me that has questions and I get some pushback, especially if I'll take a call on the air and depending on their approach, I'll get, you know, why didn't you share the gospel or why didn't you tell them this or you should have done that. I think God thinks outside the box and what he would have you do for one person is not necessarily the same for another, right? And we would hope and pray, yes, obviously, we would share Jesus and the gospel for sure. But I came to faith in large part because of a relationship with two knuckleheads, my best friend and his older brother. And I say that very affectionately. Older brother, a pastor, my best friend, gave his life to the Lord, and I watched their lives be so honoring of God, and it spoke to me in a lot of ways. But I think early on, when I was a New Age teacher, if someone was to come to me, goodness, I used to hang up on Christians on my radio program. But over a three-year period, they loved me, they talked to me, they shared the gospel here and there, but it wasn't anything hard and fast. So this listener, Jeff, sends me an email, and he just came to Southern California. He's new. He's asking me all these questions, and I'm just praying, Lord, how do I respond to Jeff? And I got kind of just this sense that music. So I said, responded, do you like music? And he's like, oh, yeah, I have a music background, this and that. And I said, have you ever heard of a guy named Phil Wickham? No. And I said, I actually gave him a couple links. One of the things Phil has done recently, I don't know if he's still doing it, but on his social media, on his Facebook page, he will do a song from home. It's mostly an acoustic. And I said, I sent Jeff a couple of links of Phil Wickham. Well, if you listen to Phil Wickham at all, you can't help but be really impacted. And so now Jeff is not a follower of the Lord yet, but him and I are in regular conversations, and once this thing is behind us, which I hope is more sooner than later, we have a tentative breakfast date, and in the meantime, he is just all about Phil Wickham and sent me the sweetest email a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, I didn't even know Phil was Christian. I don't know how he missed that one, because Phil is all about adoration and worship of the Lord. So it's good to know the Lord. Thanks to Pastor Greg Laurie again. Just very excited. This is an exciting time for the church. I got this email yesterday. I won't name her name. A lot of times I'll say an email on the name, email name on the air, and I'll say, "Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that." So this is a woman. Let's call her Sue. She says, "Frank, I want you to know my church opened up last night for Wednesday night Bible study. We also had communion. We gave the Lord a standing ovation. We practiced those two dumb words that I just hate, social distancing. We did have to wear masks to get in, but once I sat down, I took mine off. No one told me to put it back on. You could just feel the love in our church. Here's the point. Frank, I realize I took church for granted. But when they took it away from me, I was mad. I pray that my heart has changed and I make going to church a priority. This pandemic has been kind of exciting to live through because I found new ways to live life, and the Lord has taught me a lot in the last 2 months. I feel closer to Him more than ever. And I'm sharing this with you because I feel like the Holy Spirit prompted me to do it." And we'll say, listener, I don't even know what name I used. Sue, whatever. Thank you for that. It is an exciting time, and it's a stressful time. I had a conversation this morning with, gosh, do I want to say this? Filter, Frank. Yeah, I'll say it because it's, well, number one, it's the truth. Second of all, it's in the Lord's hands. So I had a conversation this morning with someone that is interested in my book, Making It Into a Movie. And evidently, it's been pitched to a film company. I'm not going to name the film company, but I love the film company. Anyway, we had a conversation this morning. Here's the point of bringing that up. It's not like, look at me, look how special. The person didn't know me that was pitching it. And so read my story and had some questions. And for those of you that don't know, I was a New Age teacher, 21 years, rebelled against God. If I was to have known then till now that I would be all in for Jesus Christ, I would tell you, no way. No way. But I am. He's it. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything. He's alive. He wants to have a relationship with you right now. And maybe it's because I came to the Lord so late in my life that I had a lot of living, a lot of experiences, a lot of things I've repented of, and at the age of 54 said yes, clearly, to Him, radically get saved. In the last 10-plus years has been very, I'm going to be honest, very difficult. Sanctification has been hard. I'm kind of on a fast track here, I think, but He is faithful. Pastor Greg talked about this, that he said when we talked about walking away or doubting if He is a real. And as Pastor Greg has been very, we thank him for being so vocal about the pain of Christopher going back home to the Lord. And he just said it, you know, a few moments ago on the program, Frank, if God wouldn't have met me, I would have probably stopped preaching. I mean, God is real. And I just grieve over, I'm going to read an email when I got back of a listener who's now an atheist, doesn't believe in God anymore. But I'm grieved for that because it's like, look, I get it. It's easy to live for self and live in the world and buy into all the things that the world says are going to make you happy and everything the world throws at us. And then I hear my good friend Daryl Strawberry saying, look, keep your eyes on the Lord and don't lay your treasures in this life. It's so quick. It's so fleeting. And I'm ever more so, maybe at the end of the season, maybe it's a new season, compelled to just implore you, beseech you, pray with you, counsel you, have a conversation with you just about how short life is and how real Jesus is. And I every day, before I start this program, whether it's our program on K-Praise here in San Diego or in L.A. on KKLA, I'm like, Lord, really? You want me behind this microphone, really, me, a man who for 54 years of his life rebelled against you. You know, the cliche that I heard the promo yesterday, you know, the man who used to hang up on Christians. I kind of wince on that, but it's true. Wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Now he's my life. He's everything. And I just pray when I get emails like this email I'll read on the other side. The only thing that makes sense in this life is to give your life to the Lord. Doesn't make it easier necessarily, but it gives you a clarity that you've never had before. You know, Jesus' last days on earth said, I have to leave for the Helper to come, power of the Holy Spirit. I know that who I am today or I'm becoming today in the Lord is not my own doing. You know, my flesh is strong. The Frank Sontag that I know that I've been in this body for 64 years of my life and maybe 65 around the corner, man, I know what's me and I know what's not me. And when I start just surrendering to him and say, Lord, use me for your glory, or I watch our ministry, our men's ministry, and what God's done through that, it's undeniably, this isn't man doing this. This is God. And I just pray that the ultimate selfless servant that walked the face of the earth, whose teachings are still ever so more so alive in the Bible, that we would get honest with ourselves and get real about where we are right now. You know, maybe you're some of the last ones. You're still like, this has been a rough couple months, but I'm still not sure. You know, what happens? What's going to happen in my life if I say yes to Jesus? Is everything going to change? I'm just going to kind of hang on. Or even some in the church. Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, Matthew 22:35-36, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We know the second one, to love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of us know that one. But to love him with everything means he's it, above all in. And maybe part of the way this is going to unfold as we continue to take breath through Christ and honor him, maybe there's going to be a revival. I don't drop that word lightly. Maybe we're in the beginning of a spiritual awakening. I don't know. All I know is if there's one person listening right now, if that's you and you don't know the Lord, please keep listening. Email me, call me, whatever, questions, your struggles, your doubts, no, I don't want anything to do with Christianity, all that stuff. Because for me, I would not be here if I didn't know, not believe, but know Jesus is Lord. I couldn't do the program. I wouldn't last for a couple weeks, let alone a couple years, let alone now, hard to say, 7 years. But he is Lord. He is King. So let us know you're out there. Let us know how you can serve us, and we can serve you. And together we can serve the Lord, but we are here for you. Call us, 888-528-2557. You're welcome to email anytime as well. You can find hope right here in our King, Jesus. More of the Frank Sontag Show as we continue next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. I received an email from a listener, and I want to read it to you, just some of it. It's long, And we've got some calls. We'll try to get to you as well. I know time is a factor here. So let me just jump to the email. It says, Dear Frank, I'm curious how Jonathan Steingart went from not believing the Bible to not believing in God altogether. He's the former lead singer of Hawk Nelson, right? The listener, who I don't know is a man or a woman, the listener's name is can be used for both male and female, says, I've been listening to you on the radio for about 3 decades. So I thought I'd share my story of going from Christianity to atheism. First, I believe Christianity is generally a good thing, filled with some awesome people who are willing to do difficult, dangerous, and selfless things to help people all over the globe. As a child, I watched an interview on the news of Carl Sagan, who was explaining a solar eclipse scheduled for the following day. When it occurred, at the exact time Sagan predicted, it created a small data point in my brain that science knew something about how the solar system operated. Later, as a young Christian, I wanted to get deeper in my faith, began Bible studies. I'm jumping around here. As I studied the Bible, I even grew more questions. The road to deism to atheism was quick for me, just a few months. Here's the line that stood out to me. I just decided a God powerful enough to create the universe would have made life on earth less brutal. That's the synopsis of my journey. I think it's pretty common. Signed, listener, so-and-so. And it's a lot more to the email. I'm just jumping around. When I read, I just decided a God powerful enough to create the universe would have made life on earth less brutal. Makes sense. But I know for me, my 54 years of saying no was based a lot in, well, you know, if I was God, well, then I would have done it differently this way, or whatever logic we put into our head. And for me, I look back on now, that's the ploy of the evil one. I was full on in the throes of no doubt in my mind of strongholds, and in the New Age, you open all sorts of doors. We put it in my book. I don't need to be too specific here, but I want to read you what I wrote back to the listener. And I oftentimes don't respond, but I did it quickly. I said, Lord, how do I respond to this person? I said, thank you for your email. 3 immediate thoughts come to my mind. Number one, your email grieved me. I respect your process, but wow, just like that, you've had it all figured out. 2, you may want to read some of Hugh Ross's books. Many of you know Hugh Ross, scientist, brilliant mind, did not believe in God, and through the process of examination over many years, he's now one of the brilliant science minds that absolutely is a follower of Christ. I said, I think Hugh's writings may challenge some of your conclusions at the very least. And then 3, again, with respect and love, you obviously have not had an encounter with the risen Savior. For me, that was game over. I'm all his. He is Lord. I'm grateful for you. Thanks again for taking the time to share. And then the listener sent me a very short response early this morning. Just thanks for taking the time to read. Have a good show. So if you're listening right now, and again, I hesitate to say your name. Sometimes these emails are very private. I do hope to continue that conversation. You know, it's atheism is an interesting conversation, of which maybe tomorrow we'll kind of get deeper into this, because I think it merits at the very least that conversation, and maybe some of you will call. But what I would like to do for those of you that stay with us, for those of you in San Diego, we thank you. We love you, K-Praise family. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. For those of you that stay here on for hour number 2 here on KKLA, I want to get into a very difficult conversation. And that would be the death of George Floyd. I've gotten a number of emails. Are you going to talk about this? And Jim Dennison is a pastor. He writes a blog at the Dennison Forum on Truth and Culture. And he has much to say about the realities of racism. So that's where we're going to go in our next hour for those of you that stay with us. Again, God bless you all. Thank you for listening to this, The Frank Sontag Show.